Hey, well, regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Cam Edwards, your host, thank you for being a part of the program today. Tell you what, this is actually the second program that I've done today. First one was great, but you couldn't hear it because there was some weird audio issue. But this one, you know what? This one's going to be just as good. I got a good feeling about this. Coming up on the program, in a matter of moments, actually, we'll be talking with Mr. Rob Pincus, who is part of the organizing committee for an event coming up. We've got a couple of big events actually coming up in Washington, D.C. over the next few months on the 2nd of each month. December the 2nd, the Supreme Court is going to hear oral arguments in the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association versus New York City case. And a month prior to that, November the 2nd, the Second Amendment rally is going to be taking place steps away from the Supreme Court on the grounds of the U.S. Capitol. I first heard about this a couple of weeks ago. I've tweeted out about this. I'm going to be making the drive from Farmville, Virginia, into the belly of the beast, Washington, D.C., because, A, it's important. B, I think it's going to be worth it. There are some great folks who are going to be in attendance, some folks that I consider friends of mine that I haven't seen in a while. And I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing you there as well. Anyway, Rob Pincus joins us to talk about that rally and what he hopes will happen there on the 2nd of November. Hey, Rob, it is good talking with you, sir. Appreciate you joining me today.
Yeah, it's great to be here on the news, Cam and Company.
Absolutely. November the 2nd, the Second Amendment rally in Washington, D.C. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, it's an exciting event. You know, it's really a grassroots advocacy kind of event. You're one of our speakers. Today is actually the first day that we're formally announcing who some of our speakers are going to be. We really appreciate you committing to the event early on and doing, you know, our promotional video. And here we are talking about it on your show. That's what's happened all across the gun community. We've got people who are influencers, who are experts, who are leaders, who are speakers, a lot of different organizations represented. But no one organization or entity is sponsoring this event. And we've got some very generous and anonymous donors. We've got some anonymous people who are putting a lot of time, effort, and energy in the background. Jeff Knox and I sort of stepped out behind the curtain just because, you know, somebody had to make the phone calls and you know, post those social media and all that kind of stuff. But now what we've got very quickly is an army of people who are helping promote this great event at our nation's capital, where honestly we really don't do that much as a community, as a gun community, because the laws are so restrictive and it can be tough.
Yeah, that, well, and you're right about that. You know, I went to a rally probably maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and it was a smaller group. They'd asked me to speak, and I wanted to give them support. A bunch of younger folks living in D.C. and the turnout was not so great, but you know what? I was glad that I was there anyway because of the time and the effort that those young adults, I was almost going to call them kids, but young adults had put into that. And in all honesty, this is a critically important time for our right to keep and bear arms. We saw the D.C. Project earlier this year visit D.C. They had a number of women who were there who were, you know, talking with lawmakers. In fact, Diana Mueller from D.C. Project is. She's going to be there on the 2nd of November as well, isn't she?
Yeah, she's one of our speakers. She jumped right in on this. Of course, she's really pushing this idea of doing something, and we are doing something. This is something to be done. You know, I was talking to her. We actually have at least 2, maybe 3 speakers from the D.C. Project. The ladies are doing great work that are going to be part of the November 2nd rally. And she said, you know, if we get a couple of hundred people to stand in front of us and we make our pitches and we give our speeches and we say what we have to say about DC Project, we're happy because it's really hard to get the gun owners motivated in Washington, DC. And I told her, I said, you know, the largest group that I can think of was about 2,000 people or so, you know, way back when the million moms march happened. And of course that the other side does it differently. You know, they pay people, they bust people, they put people up, they spend, you know, months planning these kinds of events. And what we did was, you know, seeing that the tide turn against us legislatively, you know, we're concerned about things at the federal level. Obviously, a lot going on at the state level. Several of us got together about, 30, 45 days ago now and said, you know, let's just do it. Let's not plan it for a year. Let's not pretend we're going to raise $1 million and pay to bring people in. Let's just say we're getting together to secure the permits. We're going to be at the Capitol building, which is a space that, we get 5,000 gun owners there. That's a legit large scale rally for, you know, obviously peaceful demonstration or protest, a gathering of Americans who care about gun rights, from across the gun community, across the community of 100 million Americans that are pro-gun.
Yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, and I got to tell you, I mean, I tweeted something out a few days ago and, you know, heard from a gun owner in New Jersey who said, oh, this is fantastic. I'm glad you're going to be there. My buddies and I were talking about this. We now have three SUVs worth of gun owners who are going to be driving down. I've heard from folks who are going to be, you know, driving up from south of D.C. So, you know, the word is getting out. And I think that there is a great deal of interest. I would encourage folks, again, to spread the word on social media. Now, you mentioned that today was the day that you were going to talk about some of the speakers. You mentioned myself. You mentioned Diana Mueller. Who else will we be seeing on November the 2nd?
You know, you talked about the SUVs coming down and the buses coming down. Of course, we got a bus from Connecticut, you know, is coming down. Holly's got one organized up there. I'm talking to John Green up in Massachusetts about getting some more organization there. A lot of the states in the mid-Atlantic and in the Northeast that are some of the more oppressed states, obviously we expect them to be well represented from the leadership at the very least. But also, let's not forget about California. We actually have a couple of speakers on the agenda from California. Craig DeLuz, Coffee with Craig, Firearms Policy Coalition, and 2A News. He's going to be coming out. And Chris Cheng, season four Top Shot champion, and he's been a great advocate for the firearms community. He lives in San Francisco, where, you know, as NRA members, we were all declared terrorists. They walked it back, but that was their intention, was to really attack gun owners in that city as an official stance. And he's coming out to be one of our speakers. So, and we, of course, we've got a lot of people from YouTube, from the influencer side as well. So Eric, Iraq veteran 8888, he'll be out there. John Patton from the Gun Collective. Kevin Dixie is one of the trainers that'll be out there. He's a guy with an incredible message about, he called it Aiming for the Truth, No Other Choice Training. Kevin Dixie, just a powerful speaker. People can get an idea what Kevin talks about. Just really helping people. And part of helping people is helping people to be prepared to defend themselves and the importance that gun rights plays in that. He spoke at the last couple of gun rights policy conferences. He'll be there as well. So it really is a nationwide event, certainly from a leadership standpoint. And that's what I think this is going to turn out to be. It's going to be thousands of gun owners, but those thousands of gun owners that show up, they by default are going to be the kinds of grassroots leaders that we really need.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, talking about Kevin Dixie, and I know that Master Ray is going to be there as well. I mean, these are guys who are, you know, again, they're not just advocates, but they are true activists. They are, you know, on the ground, putting together programs that they can take into places that are not gun friendly at all, that, you know, have been, in essence, going after a culture of lawful gun ownership for generations. And they're actually trying to restore that a culture of lawful gun ownership. And so I think this is going to be a really inspiring event. I think there are going to be a lot of things that people learn about and hear about that they can take back home with them. And, you know, are there going to be opportunities to talk with some of these folks, not just listen to them on stage, but actually talk with folks, you know, about some of the things that they're doing?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think that's one of the nice things about, you know, this size rally and the location, the time of the year. I think that it's going to give people a lot of opportunity, not just during the 3 hours that we're formally putting people up there on the stage, but also around it. And a lot of people are planning on spending extra time in the D.C. area. Attendees as well, not just the speakers. I've had a lot of attendees say they're bringing their family in. They've always wanted to take their kids to the Smithsonian or to the mall or to the monuments or whatever. So they're making a weekend of it. But I'll give you an example. We're talking about Kevin Dixie and Terry Sloan, is another one of our speakers. She's with We the Female. She's coming out from Washington State, another state that's had some really dramatic gun laws enacted upon them, gun restrictions acted upon the residents out there. She's coming out from Washington. Kevin's coming from St. Louis. And what they did is they went to social media and said, hey, followers, if you post your travel arrangements, show us that you have a hotel room confirmed, show us that you have a plane ticket. The first 15 or 20, I forget what it was, the first 15 or 20 that posted that publicly, they're having breakfast with them. So they're going to do a kind of hangout, meet and greet, breakfast, talk about gun rights issues, talk about the work that can be done in their communities. And I think that's a big part of this, is a lot of people, even if they're not showing up as leaders or grassroots advocates, I think they're going to leave certainly empowered to be such. There's going to be a lot of education and a lot of motivation that comes out of this event so that hopefully we do build thousands of new grassroots advocates on the Second Amendment rally, or during the Second Amendment rally on November 2nd in D.C.
Talking again with Rob Pincus. I'm just thinking here, I don't know what the rules are about goats on the National Mall, but I might be willing to do some sort of, you know, goat yoga session or goat therapy session for the first 10 or 15 people who let me know that they're going to be going up to D.C. If I can bring my goats with me, you can play with the goats for an hour or so before the rally. How about that? Is that a good incentive?
I'm sort of thinking of clearing my morning plans now for doing goat yoga on the National Mall. That's amazing. That's an amazing offer, Cam. I was not expecting it, but I can see it happening.
Yeah. Well, listen. You know, I'm sure that there are plenty of gun owners who do goat yoga, or maybe a couple of them anyway. I don't know, but you know, the cool thing is that this really is going to be, I think, a broad spectrum and really an event that kind of shows the broad spectrum of gun ownership in this country. You know, because in a day and age in which we are just sliced and diced down to the narrowest demographic possible, the Second Amendment community really is a big tent. You're going to find all kinds of arguments and disagreements within that big tent. But generally speaking, what I think is so great about the Second Amendment community is if you respect and support the right to keep and bear arms and you want to protect it, welcome. You're a part of the team, right?
Yeah. You know, there is an incredible respect for the individual at the heart of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment is expressly about guns in our politics today, but it's really about the right to self-defense and self-preservation and the preservation of our way of life and the preservation of our country, ultimately. And that is a strongly powerful, motivating, personal passion that so many people have that you can't really have that discussion about protecting the human itself without respecting the human. And that's what happens. I joke sometimes, like, the AARP might be the only, you know, larger potential group to have a coalition in the U.S., you know, but even then, you've got an age demographic that is blown away. But I mean, I've got my four-year-old that started shooting this year, and you know, you've got kids with plenty of kids that shoot, and then all the way into the octogenarians and what when you're in your 90s, what is that?
Nonagenarians, yeah.
That is that right. Whatever it is, I mean, the spectrum is wide, and I think the word diversity gets thrown around maybe a little bit too much, and you know, we talk about it or kind of claim it maybe where it doesn't exist inside the gun community sometimes. But this is going to be a very broad spectrum, and the word I like to use is coalition. There are going to be people up on that stage from all different walks of life, all different age brackets, all different lifestyles, all different creeds, religions, beliefs, and systems, whatever their values are. Outside of guns, really isn't going to matter. Mike Cedini is going to be one of our speakers, the founder of Walk to Talk America. He's going to be talking about what happens at the intersection of guns and mental health issues, which is so critical and so important to understand. But one of the things he says is that, you know, you have to leave all your other baggage at the door. If we're going to talk about these topics, we can't be worried about who you're voting for, what party you're part of, what church you go to, or if you go to church at all. We want to talk about guns. And what I've found is once we can leave that as the ground rules, once we get inside that tent, hey, turns out we do believe a lot of the same other things. We do believe, or we do like the same kind of music, or watch the same kind of movies. There'll be things we disagree about for sure. But what people are going to see on that stage is a wide variety of people who represent that 100 million plus American gun owner and care deeply about our individual right to keep and bear arms. And that's what's important.
All right. So, Rob, if folks want more information and they want to help spread the word about the rally coming up on November the 2nd, how can they find out more?
The first and best place to go is SecondAmendmentRally.com. SecondAmendmentRally.com will be updated frequently over the next few weeks. It does have all the core information there already, of course. But really important, it has a spot where you can register your commitment to attend the event as well. That helps for a couple of reasons. One, it's going to let us get you the latest, greatest information. We're going to be able to send you the updates, the speaker updates, any last minute, you know, important pieces of, you know, where to park, how to get there, where the fences are, whatever stuff that might come out from the Capitol Police, who we're working with, obviously, on the permits and on the execution of the event for November 2nd. So get registered. That also lets us tell the media. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of media attention. We want as much of media attention on this as we can get. And that media attention is obviously going to be fueled by the fact that we can say we have, you know, 5,000 people pre-registered or 6,000 people pre-registered. Obviously, that's free. You can also go to the events on Facebook. There's a Facebook page for Second Amendment Rally and for Rally for Your 2A Rights. You can go to the page. You can like it, follow it, keep an eye on what's going on there. Again, announcements, speakers, a lot of promotional videos there. You can go to check going or interested at the event, share it with your friends, obviously, as well. And on Instagram, we have @2ARally, @2ARally, where we put a lot of those commercial videos, like the one that you did, that great one you did from down on the farm there. And you know, one of the important things to remind people is it can be intimidating sometimes, I think, for people who aren't familiar with the Beltway, as you call it, you know, the Washington, D.C., the greater metro area. Mm-hmm. And it can also be expensive. And the best thing I can tell people is, yes, that's true. Traffic can be bad. But there are parking garages down there near the Capitol Mall. There's places you can get. It's not peak tourist season. It is going to be a Saturday, so a lot of the business traffic we don't have to worry about, the rush hour type commuter traffic. But if people want, they can just park outside of the Beltway, outside of D.C., get on a train and take that train right down to the Capitol Mall. And that can be very convenient as well. Even if you're traveling from out of state, that lets you stay in a less expensive hotel in Northern Virginia, for example, and then just take that cheap train in.
Yep, absolutely. And I'd like to have you back before November 2nd. So we can talk more about the logistics as we get closer. But Rob, in the meantime, I appreciate your time today, sir. Looking forward to seeing you in a few weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be a great event. Like I said, a lot of great people. And I'm expecting, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 people. But if it were just the speakers and just the diehards and just the locals, it's still going to be a great get together. And we're going to be able to say that we did it and plant a seed for something in the future. But I really see this as being a pivotal event in the move from, you know, just maybe just sending a check or hoping that some organization or some other leader is doing it, and reminding 100 million plus American gun owners, we all have to be doing something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, time's not now to sit on the sidelines. Rob Pincus joining us here on Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. Thank you, sir. We'll do this again very soon. I like the idea of getting together surrounding the segment rally. So if you're planning on attending, shoot me an email, cam.edwards@bearingarms.com. You can tweet me, I suppose, as well, at Twitter, @CamEdwards. And let me know if you're going to be attending. I would love to be able to do some sort of, you know, unofficial meet and greet or hang out and get a drink afterwards for those who would like. Would love to hear from you, so just let me know. All right, let's get to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day. Still trying to figure out the final name for this segment, but to one of the suggestions was A Matter of Time. And that would certainly be appropriate for this story from the Advocate in Louisiana. A man accused of killing his wife in front of their children had cut off his ankle monitor 9 days before. Why did he have an ankle monitor on? Oh, because he's accused of murder? Yeah, this story just infuriates me. 37-year-old Terrell Anthony appeared in the Livingston Parish Court Wednesday morning for an initial hearing in which the judge ultimately denied bond for the man who was already out on bond and accused of a East Baton Rouge murder case. That was back in 2017, I believe it was. So Terrell Anthony apparently got mad at his wife's oldest child, a 12-year-old boy. And when his wife came home, he met her at gunpoint, escorted her into another room and shot and killed her, and then took off. According to the prosecutor, investigators discovered that Terrell Anthony has a lengthy and violent criminal history, most recently a murder charge on which he was out on a $300,000 bond from East Baton Rouge Parish. In that case, he was ordered to wear an ankle monitor, but the parish sheriff's detectives found that Terrell Anthony had cut the device off 9 days before he allegedly murdered his wife. So here's a question. Well, a couple of questions. One, why was a murder suspect with a lengthy violent criminal history allowed out on bond and told to wear an ankle monitor? And then question two, why was this discovered, the fact that he cut that ankle monitor, why was that discovered 9 days after he did it and only when police were investigating the murder of Jessica Clark, Terrell Anthony's wife? Why, when he snipped off the ankle monitor, was law enforcement not alerted to the fact that an accused murderer had just cut off his ankle monitor and was whereabouts unknown? Again, the judge now says, oh, you're not getting bond. So I guess being accused of two murders is the second one that's going to keep you behind bars. But this didn't need to have happened. This shouldn't have happened. Terrell Williams, again, had a lengthy criminal history, not only this previous murder charge. He was convicted of domestic assault against the wife that he is now accused of killing. Got a six-month sentence for that. He's actually on probation or on parole right now for a drug charge. Supposed to be on parole through 2021. One would think that being on parole and then getting arrested for the murder back in 2017, facing those charges, would be enough. But no, Terrell Anthony was out on the streets instead of behind bars. And Jessica Clark, his wife, is now dead as a result. Again, absolutely infuriating. All right, our armed citizen story today from Fort Worth, Texas, the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Like most defensive gun uses, the trigger not pulled in this case, the presence of that firearm in the hands of the legal gun owner, enough to prevent that crime from escalating any further. All happened early Wednesday morning when a suspect identified as 36-year-old Anthony Ray Castillo was allegedly burglarizing a vehicle. Owner of that vehicle saw what was going on, went outside, armed with a firearm. His 25-year-old daughter ended up calling 911. When police arrived, they found Mr. Castillo there being held at gunpoint by the homeowner. He's now facing a burglary charge. The homeowner not facing any charges at all. Our good deed of the day from Oro Valley, Arizona, where an on-duty officer ended up helping to recover a missing child. Officer Christopher Knapp was on patrol. He was driving through a motel parking lot, saw a car with Colorado tags, just decided to run those tags, came back clean, no issues. But a couple of days later, turns out that this car was registered to a woman who'd been reporting missing out of Pueblo County. And also reported missing was her 8-year-old son. This was apparently the result of a custody dispute. Mom was not supposed to have her son, had actually been ordered to hand her son over, and took off instead. Officer Knapp, realizing what was going on, talked with Arizona Department of Public Safety. And while they had a warrant to enter that motel room forcibly, they didn't have to do so. Mom ultimately surrendered the child back where he belongs. And hopefully, I do hope this. I don't like stories like this, to see a family just absolutely blown apart the way that it has happened. Hopefully, Mom gets herself to a point where she can see her child again. Hopefully the kid is okay, given all of the trauma and the storm, I'm sure, that he's been living through. But kudos to Officer Knapp for being in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing. That's going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. I do appreciate you being a part of the program. Aaron wrote in not long ago and said, I'm really enjoying the new format. But outro music, could you have outro music? And, the thing is, Aaron, like, that's hard. You got to back time stuff. You got to figure out when you got to stop talking. I could try. I could, slowly bring up music underneath me right now and talk. But then I got to figure out how long to talk and what to say. I can tell you, you can find the show as a podcast at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, townhall.com podcasts. You can subscribe to the program on YouTube as well, just to subscribe to Town Hall Media, so I can get that important information out there. But then I gotta keep talking for a little bit longer while the music plays in order for it to, end dramatically, Aaron. So I don't know that we're going to be able to do this each and every day. I'm going to have to practice.